would even work holiday lights were in working. But ours are also
all
white.
Not all.
How's
it going?
Our also all white.
Okay.
That's fine. We're gonna. Yeah, we're not gonna end early, but we'll try to go quickly, make up for lost time. All right. So everybody have something in front of them that works. Fine. So we have the first source we have here is the Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Yom Kippurim. You notice the Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha twice. Right. Once in the end of Siman Tafresh Chaf Dalet, which is the halacha of Yom Kippur. And he says, "A medaktikin is the Rama, matchilin miad motzi Yom Kippur basiyas asukah." Right, people who are scrupulous start building their sukkah immediately after Yom Kippur. Kidei latzeis mitzvah mitzvah. Right, so you go from the mitzvah of Yom Kippur straight into the mitzvah of sukkah.
What should I do with this? Should I
spill it out? The next halacha, Tafresh Chaf Hei, as you see, quotes this halacha again, also b'shem the Maril. Sukkos teishu shevas yamim, sukkos shavtis bnei Yisrael. So, hey manane kavod sheikifam behem lebal yachem. Sher v'shemesh, lebal yakim sher v'shemesh, so they shouldn't be caught in the elements. Mitzvah l'taken asukah miyad l'achar Yom Kippur, and there's a mitzvah to build a sukkah right after Yom Kippur. The mitzvah bal yado al tach mitzah al yach mitzana. You shouldn't let the mitzvah become chametz. Right, you shouldn't let it sit too long before you seize it. So what do we make of these two psakim in the Rama? How are we to understand them? What do you think?
Yeah. The building of the sukkah itself is a very important part of the thing.
Yeah, so one issue we have here is where does this building of the sukkah come from, right? Usually you would assume that if the mitzvah is just to sit inside the sukkah, then we should be absolutely neutral about the building of the sukkah itself, and especially with regard to the time in which you build the sukkah, right? But here the Rama seems to be taking a strong stand that you should build the sukkah right away. And notice the phrase, mitzvah bal yado al yach mitzena, right? So what does that mean? Well,
potentially it's its own mitzvah.
Okay, it's a little too strong from the Maril. What do you think, Eliab? What do you think that indicates?
I mean, I was going to say that it does sound like he's considering Binyan Sukkah as an actual mitzvah.
Okay, it sounds definitely
least,
in the mitzvah.
At least some kind of cue.
Why do you think it implies
it
that?
Like
why do you think it implies it? Just because he says?
Because he uses the lashon, he uses mitzvah. Also in the first, he says, Kedei latzeis mitzvah mitzvah.
Okay, seems like it has a connotation of mitzvah, sure. But also, what do you think about the fact that you know, why can't we really reverse the order here? Why not say, build your sukkah on Erev Yom Kippur? And this way it's nice, you go mitzvah
well,
on mitzvah.
Like it seems like there's an actual zman for.
Oh, that's right. So it sounds like the zman ha-mitzvah, not only is binyan sukkah itself a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah that has a very clear and distinct time. And that time kicks in motzi Yom Kippur.
And also that time, meaning it's continuously elapsing, and you want to do it as quickly as possible after Yom Kippur. So there's...
Right, get it in as soon as possible. Okay, so we have... Right, so we have really two issues here. One of them is this notion of building of the sukkah itself. Right, is that like a nice idea here? Just like, you know, chiyase gufo b'mitzvos makabel schar tvei, more in the second paragraph of Kedushin, right? The more you're involved in mitzvah-oriented things, the better. Or does this speak to an actual mitzvah binyan sukkah? And secondly, this time. Why is the trigger here Yom Kippur? Right? Maybe there's a mitzvah to build a sukkah, but that starts already 30 days before Yom Tov. What's the Yom Kippur factor here? Okay. So we turn to the Psukim, and Torah presents, like most of the Yom Tovim, it's presented twice in the Torah, once in Parshas Emor, and again in Devarim, in Sefer Devarim in Parshas Re. Okay, when you look at the Psukim, you have different emphases. So what do you have in Vayikra? Chana, you have the Psukim Vayikra in Emor?
Sure. Should we read them?
Yeah, why not?
Tzivreo b'nei Yisrael emor b'chamishasar yom b'chodesh ha-shvi'i hazeh chag yizkut shivat yimim Hashem. Basukot tishvu shivat yamim kol ezrach b'Yisrael yishvu basukot v'man yidu dorotechem ki basukot hoshavti ebnei Yisrael potzi otam yiretz Mitzrayim ani Hashem
Elokecha. Right, so what's the mitzvah seem like here?
To sit in a sukkah.
Yeah, basukot tishvu shivat yamim, the mitzvah is clearly focused on the, what we'd call it, say, yeshivas agavra, right, the person sitting inside the sukkah. I mean, fast forward to Parshas Re'eh, and what do you have? Once again. Yeah, so what do you make of this? Chag HaSukkos Tasa L'cha Shivat Yamim.
It says I'm a chag rather than a person.
Okay, so this seems to be talking about the chag, right? Make the chag for you for 7 days. But the Gemara doesn't really interpret that way. Right? How do we know this? Jeremy, how do we know this? That the Gemara interprets this about the actual sukkah.
Chag HaSukkos Tasa is a lashon of the actual building.
Yeah, so where does the Gemara say that? Gemara said later on, you can all fast forward. To page 3 in the middle, Gemara and Sukkah Nidal from the Bays. Gemara says, O Tani Gabe Sukkah Tasa Velomin Asui. That's the din that you can't find your Sukkah already constructed before Yom Tov. You have to actively engage in its construction. So you see that Chag HaSukkos Tas L'Chashivas Yamim is not referring, it's not picking out the holiday, right, that you should like wear nice clothes and prepare nice food and hang out with family. That's not the commandment here. But it's to Chag HaSukkos Tas L'Cha, that really Sukkos Tas L'Cha, build for yourself a sukkah. So if that's the case, then in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah seems to be taking a stand on the construction of the sukkah. Okay? Now this is pretty radical when you consider that, let's say, contrast this with matzah, right? The Torah doesn't say, you know, make matzah for 7 days. It doesn't say make matzah for 1 day. But the Torah does say you should eat matzahs for 7 days. Right? So there the mitzvah is always concentrated just on your performance of the achila, your performance of the eating. And that's analogous to what you have in Emor. Torah says, sit in a sukkah for 7 days, just like you should eat matzah for 7 days. Here you have something stronger where Torah is saying, build for yourself a sukkah. Okay, and we have to figure out what is that mitzvah of building a sukkah, and how does it relate to what we take as intuitive, the mitzvah of eating inside a sukkah. So I'm just curious to get a sense here, actually. What do you associate with the mitzvah of sukkah, the eating or the construction and having a sukkah? Oh yeah, what do you always think?
Association?
Yeah. The mitzvah of sukkah. It's like going to the sukkah to eat, right?
Living in it, yeah.
What?
Living in it.
Yeah, it's like you're habitating the sukkah. Right? Everybody else with Eliyahu up here? You agree?
Yes, but if you think about it more, then there's the schach on, where like everyone's obsessed with it. You have to like put the schach on, right?
The schach.
So like that is like a taset part of like building the sukkah.
But maybe that's kind of just like the, you know, baking the matzahs. Yeah, people are obsessed with baking matzah. Right?
Well, I mean, when people talk about, like, when people give, like, Divrei Torah, like, talk about philosophically what a sukkah is and God's protection and that,
yeah,
then you're not really thinking about the activities in the sukkah. You're thinking about what the sukkah represents itself.
But so that's when you say the same thing made for matzah, right? Lechem sh'onim alav dvarim harbe.
Right, so then it's...
Lechem oni, right? Halach ma'anya, right? Obviously, it's going to have some, like, the heftzah, the entity itself is going to have some importance. I think we all associate matzah with the consumption of matzah, right? Eating it, achilas matzah. But I think it's fair to say that generally, right, we speak more about the mitzvah of yeshiva basukkah than the construction of the sukkah and having it. And so I want to bring out that latter theme. First it's building, and then what I think is implied by the building, which is that maybe there's independence to just having a sukkah for 7 days. Somewhat independent of your habitation of it. Okay, so do we have any evidence beyond the psukim? Psukim are nice, but do we have anything beyond the psukim to reinforce that there's a mitzvah building the sukkah? All right. So nobody really got to see Jeremy, so he's in advance.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, do you see these in advance? Matthew?
A little bit.
That's a no.
Not bad. No, that's all I'm going
to be announcing. That's fair. Okay. So the Gemara in Shavuot on Chavtes Amud Aleph. Mishnah, actually. And the Mishnah here is talking about Shavuot Shav. Right, some meaningless shvuas. And a meaningless shvua is also an iser, just like a false shvua. Okay, so what's a case of meaningless shvua? Shvua shav, Mishnah says, back on page 1, nishba levatal sa mitzvah, if you take a shvua to undermine a mitzvah, what's an example? Shalo la so sukkah, not to construct a sukkah. Veshalo litol lulav, right, not to shake a lulav. Veshalo laniach tefillin. Zohi shvua shav, shechev nazdona makos va shigasa pater. So what do you make of this?
Sounds like it's just as much as a mitzvah as shaking the lulav or thing on the
ground. Right, and the Mishnah here doesn't pick out shelo leishay basukkah. Right, and it says that for lulav. It doesn't say shelo lasos lulav, it's shelo lito lulav, not to shake lulav. Right? So what do you do with this Mishnah here? The Mishnah seems to be focusing on shelo lasos sukkah. That seems to be the... That's even stranger because it's one thing to say that there are two aspects to the mitzvah of sukkah. I mean, here the mitzvah, the Mishnah is almost picking out exclusively the mitzvah of binyan sukkah. It doesn't say shelo laso sukkah vishelo leisheva sukkah. It almost like it's the first thing that comes to the Tana's mind here is the mitzvah of binyan sukkah.
Okay. It's assuming that you could be sitting on a sukkah just that someone else built, right? Because maybe the lasso sukkah is like you have to make a sukkah in order to sit there.
Okay, but you also have to make tefillin in order to use them, right? You didn't build this sukkah.
Right, so I know lasso sukkah could be including like lasso sukkah and leishay sukkah because like, it's the first step in the process of two things.
That's not really the first step in the process. It might be just a different issue altogether, right? When you say shelo lito lulav, why not talk about shelo lita lulav, right? Not the planta lulav, or
because that's like not, it's not a thing in itself. But if we're saying, I mean, I don't know if like lasso sukkah necessarily means whatever. I don't, never mind.
We want to say lasso sukkah here refers to sitting in the sukkah.
No, I think lasso sukkah definitely refers to building a sukkah, but I don't know if it necessarily implies sitting in a sukkah as like not a,
to the exclusion of. Yeah. Okay, I'm just picking it out as an observation for now. Okay, your objection is noted. Now let's turn to another Gemara, which also reinforces this idea. Gemara and Makos on Daf Ches Amud Aleph. Has anybody learned Makos? Daf Ches? Right, Elia, you were learning Makos last year.
Yeah, we have to like Daf Zayin.
And I have to Daf Zayin. Convenient, right? So, Jeremy, what's going on? Did you learn Makos, Daf Ches?
A long time ago.
Okay, so what's going on here, and what's the issue at hand? What's the klal in Golet, in your Miklat here?
That in order to be exiled, you have to, the person who you kill has to have rishus to be in that area.
All right. So one halacha is that if I'm, you know, classic case, I'm chopping with an axe and the axe head flies off and kills somebody. If that's a murder b'shogig and you're not chayv mis, you only chayv to go into galus. But if I'm chopping my own rishus and somebody walks into my rishus without permission, so that's I'm not chayv to go into galus, because the Gemara says that he had to have permission to walk into your property. Okay. Then the Mishnah goes further, and it says not only does he have to have permission to go into your property, but the act which you are doing had to have been a completely voluntary act. If you were doing a mitzvah act, or an act performed for a mitzvah, so if you end up killing somebody b'shogeg in that action, you're exempt from going into galus. Okay, look at the Gemara in Makos Daf Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, back to the Mishnah. Sorry, top of page 2. Look at the last line in the Mishnah. Abashal, Omer, Macha Tavas Eitzim Rishus, Af Kol Rishus. Okay, just like the example in the Torah is that you're chopping wood. So just like chopping wood is a completely voluntary action, you're never commanded to chop wood. So too, the only time you're chayav to go into galus is if you did something that's voluntary. Okay, so Gemara says, well, how do you know this? Maybe the chopping of wood in the Torah is a case of a mitzvah. Right, Elia, you have the Gemara?
Yeah.
So what does the Gemara say? Dilma. Second source. Chesem and Aleph, end of the first line.
Oh, Dilma mechatavati tzim tzisuk, or mechatavati tzim tzimaracha. Vafilachi amarachmana ligle.
Yeah, maybe the case is where you're chopping wood for a sukkah.
Which seems to imply that chopping wood for a sukkah is masa and mitzvah of some sort.
Yeah, sounds like it's a mitzvah, right?
Yep.
Because that would be chatava seisim de mitzvah, not chatava seisim de rishos. So the Gemara pushes back, and the Gemara says,
Amrulei kevan di matzah chatuv, lav mitzvah hashanami lav mitzvah.
Right, so what does that mean?
So, because you can make a sukkah equally well by just taking already chopped wood that you didn't chop yourself, so the mice of chopping is never actually
correct, right? If you could have achieved the same result without this process and everybody would be just as happy, so then that demonstrates that the action itself is not a mitzvah, right? So let's say I already have chopped timber, right? I go to Home Depot, so there's no mitzvah for me to chop wood for my sukkah. Okay, but what about the actual construction of the sukkah? What would you say from this Gemara? You might say, well, maybe if you found your sukkah already built, so there's no mitzvah to build it. Right, you might say that from the Gemara. What do you think?
Or you could limit it.
Meaning or you could limit it, right.
Maybe about a more preparatory stage.
Correct.
Buy those like ready-made sukkahs.
Right, so maybe if I could buy a ready-made sukkah, there's no mitzvah for me to build it.
Right, exactly.
Or maybe the Gemara is only talking about this prior stage of chopping the wood for building the sukkah. So Rashi weighs in very clearly here, and very nicely. Rashi says, Hashtanami. Hashanami kilo matzah chatuva ein hachatava mitzvah el asiyas hasukkah. See that? Alright, so the Gemara is proving that chopping the wood for the sukkah is not a mitzvah. But Rashi weighs in, but asiyas hasukkah is a mitzvah. Right, the construction of the sukkah is still a mitzvah. Alright, so it seems like you have two indications already here in the Gemara. One a Gemara in Shavuos and Daf Chavtes, and one a Gemara in Makos and Daf Ches, that the building, at least according to Rashi's interpretation here, the building of the sukkah has the status of a mitzvah. What other evidence do we have that there's a mitzvah here? So what does the Yushalmi say in Brachos? Parakas?
Yes, say bracha.
Yeah. Very nice day in the Yushalmi. Yushalmi thinks you should make a bracha upon the construction of the sukkah. So what does the Gemara say? Nichnas leisheba, if you walk into your sukkah. Omer asher kishonu v'mitzvah v'tzivanu leisheba sukkah. Oh, did I give you the wrong? I'm reading the, sorry. Natalia?
Natalia.
Natalia, sorry. Mm-hmm. You want to read the Yerushalmi?
Sure.
That's great, right? If you're here, you're building a sukkah, and you have a mitzvah. Shir kisham sot zivanu laso sukkah. Separate bracha. Okay. Lacherim.
Lacherim laso lo sukkah
lishmo. What do you think of that? If I build a sukkah for you, right? So I would make a shir kisham sot zivanu laso sukkah for your purposes.
Same right? Thing. Pesach and Zion, when it talks about Bris Milah, right? There are two different girsot.
And maybe you should have a name of the...
Right? Isn't it like either Lamol or Al Milah, but it's...
But they never come to a conclusion. Like, Tosfos has this discussion all throughout Shas. Like, they're never gonna...
Now, I'm not talking about the girsot, I'm just talking about the fact that there is a precedent for changing the girsot. It seemed like they're...
So that, you mean that's way. Personalized?
Yeah.
I'm in this Lasos Lo Sigalishmo.
Uh-huh.
I mean, do you ever find that not that I'm making a bracha for you, right? Sometimes you have that, like by Seder Kedushin, right? You're also making a bracha for somebody else, and Bris Milah, like Nisar Bris Shalom Ravinu. But that the fact that I'm doing this mitzvah for you changes the text of the bracha, right? Right, let's say someone's Seder Kedushin, so they're going to still say, you know, Tzivana la Rai, Sosan Arustas, right? But he's not going to say Mekadesh S, you know, Ploni U Plonis, you're never going to pick out the subjects in front of you. And here, Yishami is suggesting that in the construction of the sukkah, you would make this personalized bracha. Very fascinating. Right? What would warrant that even? Right, so this is really more than just demonstrating that there's a mitzvah in the construction of the sukkah. It seems to point in direction, I'm not sure if there's further evidence for this, that like there's an... almost like a personal dimension to the actual sukkah. Right? Before you get all warm and fluffy about the mitzvah sukkah. It does sound that way, right? Yeah. Right? It does sound something like that.
Not good for kids who live in the city.
What?
Not good for kids who live in the city.
Using other people's sukkah. Yeah, I should have put this on here. There's an interesting shita of the Gaonim that the Torah quotes this, actually. That if you, let's say you're in your sukkah and you made a leisheva sukkah. Okay? So then you start eating and you definitely yotze your bracha. Then I pick up and I decide to visit somebody else's sukkah. I go to my next door neighbor, sukkah hopping. So the Gonim city, you should really make a new Leisheva sukkah when you walk into that new sukkah, even though there's no hefsik in the achila, right? So by normal standards, you wouldn't be required to make a new bracha. But here it seems the fact that you're in someone else's sukkah, right, that's already considered to be a new Maisa Mitzvah. You never say that for Lulav, right? For Lulav, you shake your Lulav, you want to pick up somebody, you make a bracha, you shake your Lulav, you want to pick up somebody else's, same bracha. You can't make a second bracha on it. However, here the idea seems to be that you walk into someone else's sukkah, it's mechayiv you into a new bracha.
Tzitzis also, though, right? If you get a new pair.
If you get a new pair, well, yeah. But that seems to be because the mitzvah there is lehis'atev. And it's for every beged that you're putting on, you're chayiv to make a bracha. Here it seems to be that there's something, like if you walked back into your own sukkah, you wouldn't make a bracha, because it's still the same sukkah. But the fact that it's someone else's sukkah that triggers the new bracha. So I'll have to figure that out, what's going on there. The Shiltos takes this to its logical conclusion. Shilta on bottom of page 2, Shilta Kuf Samech Tes. So what does the Shilta say? You have to remind me your name just one more time.
Rachel.
Rachel, okay.
Is that my being asked to read?
Well, no. Yes, yeah, it's your turn to read.
Shailta de Mechavin de Vesel, le Mevad Mitaltala, Umetiv ba Sheba Yomi, Dichtiv, Chagasukot Tasalaha, Shibatahim, the Tiv, the Sukot, Tishvi Shibat Yom.
Okay, great. So what's the Shilta's weighing in on here? This is his presentation of the mitzvah. This is a mitzvah of sukkah, and how does he characterize it?
That's the actual sitting in the sukkah.
Why do you say that?
Because he brings in the pasuk b'sukkot.
Okay, before that. Okay, read it again from the slowly. The mechavin de bis Yisrael. So mitzalasa here is a bit of an issue. Mitzalasa is the Aramaic translation of sukkah. But lemevad here, right, is to construct lasos. That's lemevad. Yeah, it's tricky Aramaic. And in addition, umesa ba shiva yomi, had to sit in it for 7 days. And he quotes two psukim, right? Dichsiv chaga sukos tasal chashivas yamim, that's the pasuk in Re'eh about binyan sukkah. Uksiv basukos teshu shivas yamim. Right? So he's saying that the, you know, the 169th mitzvah here contains really two different dinim. The din of binyan sukkah, he quotes one pasuk, and the din of yeshiva basukkah, and he quotes a different pasuk. Right, so, okay, so we saw some evidence in the Gemara in Shavuos, the Gemara in Makos, and we saw Yishalmi about a bracha. Now the Shiltos is saying, look, this seems to constitute one half of the mitzvah of sukkah. Okay. Now look how strong the impulse to reject the mitzvah of binyan sukkah is. The Shiltos says it almost. Right, he starts off Shiltos mechavin b'sul mevad mitzlasa to make a sukkah. So the Netziv in his commentary here says that can't really be. Okay, he says. L'chora, what he means, this is the top of page 3. This is from the Netziv's Hamek Shela. L'chora pirush, right? L'chora, the interpretation here is l'meva mitzlasa haini yeshiva, right? Kind of like how you wanted to interpret initially, right? Gloss over the, or at least interpret the first half in light of the second half. The mitzvah is to sit in a sukkah. That's what l'meva mitzlasa means. Right? And why did the Shiltos present it in this confusing way? Because the Torah says it that way. Not the Shiltos' fault. Right? Can't really interpret the Shiltos that way. Because after all, he has a double formulation of Lemevad Ulemesav, and he quotes two separate psukim. Right? So Netziv tries to say he doesn't mean it. He doesn't mean that there's a mitzvah binyan. But what can he do? Right, he seems to say it. Right, so if somebody says it and you don't want him to mean it, so the Netziv goes on to say that it must be that it's not really a mitzvah, it's just a hechshar mitzvah. Okay. It's not that there are two equal halves to the mitzvah of sukkah. One is building and one is sitting in. It's just simply the mitzvah is to sit. But there's this concept of a hechsher mitzvah. It's the, why doesn't the Shiltos do this for, you know, lulav and tillin and everything else? So here he comes on to a famous yisod of the Netziv, and this is where he constructs it. Which is to say that sometimes when a hechsher mitzvah is formulated in the Torah, so then the Hechsher Mitzvah has greater status than if it weren't formulated in the Torah. Okay? So all this is a facilitator. It's what allows you to be Mekayim the Mitzvah sitting in the Sukkah. But if the Torah happens to mention sitting in the Sukkah, the facilitator, the Hechsher, then it has higher status. Okay, so I think if you were to put in different terms, so what according to the Shiltos is the difference between chopping the wood and building the Sukkah? They're both Hechsher Mitzvah. I'll say nothing conceptual. Just that one is mentioned in the Torah, which gives it a higher status, and the other one isn't. Okay? So both are just equally tangential to the mitzvah of sukkah, but just one has a higher status because it's formulated in the Torah. That's the, seems to be the yesod here of the... Right, look again. Look at the last line of the Netziv. L'chora kasha mai nafka mina bin asiya sukkah l'chativa seitzim. What's the difference between the construction and the chopping? V'harei zu v'zeh einu ala hachana l'mitzvah yeshiva. After all, they're both just preparatory. Right? So you might have formulated this and said, no, the fact that the Torah picks out binyan sukkah, that shows it's more relevant to the mitzvah yeshiva sukkah than chopping. And you might have said, the Tzid doesn't even want to say that. He wants to say the only difference is the fact that one is picked out of the Torah. Okay?
Kind of drawing an arbitrary cutoff line there.
What?
He's drawing an arbitrary cutoff line.
Yeah, he is.
Like,
it's weird.
Right. What else exists in that category?
So one of the Kedushin does.
Okay.
Yeah, Kedushin, you said Kedushin, right? And Siv gives two other examples here. I think does he mention? Okay, so Kedushin is, this is that we mentioned this in earlier. The beginning of the second paragraph of Kedushin, the Gemara says, Mitzvah bo yos mishlucha. It's a greater mitzvah for you to be Mekadesh. Same thing, it's a greater mitzvah for a woman to be Niskadesha than to have a shliach do it. Everyone says, aye, what's the mitzvah? But the mitzvah maybe is puravu according to the Rosh. So, oh, it's a hechsher mitzvah. And maybe it's a hechsher mitzvah, chasavah Torah. It's a hechsher mitzvah the Torah picks out because it's kiyikach hishisha. Another example might be kavod Shabbos. Because the Gemara equates, actually, in the beginning of the second paragraph, the Gemara equates kavod Shabbos with kiddushin. Because your preparation for Shabbos is a hechsher, but it's picked out in the Torah. Maybe picked out in the Torah. Okay? Everybody good on these categories? Okay, so there's two dinim.
I'm kind of confused. There's three categories for the sukkah. There's the building.
According to Netziv.
Right, there's the building, which could be broken down into building and the chopping.
Correct. one of them is important because Torah picks it out. That's kind of an arbitrary distinction.
Why is that arbitrary though? Like, it's pretty clear the Torah picks it out, doesn't
pick it out something else. Torah says make a sukkah, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So when you're, so how do you determine when the materials are finished in their production stages, right, such right. that they're now prepared, and you can just like put them in the ground, and that's considered building a sukkah.
If you're chopping wood for like to make a sukkah, it's not going to be like, what are you doing? You're like, oh, I'm making a sukkah.
But I feel like, look, those two separate categories.
Nitzim would say no.
I mean, it seems like pretty obviously a separate, but maybe not.
So let's say.
Well,
then
Nitzim would say that your answer if you're chopping wood is like, I'm making a sukkah, but it's not yet picked
up. Right, like is that? Or you would just say no,
it's
chopping wood.
It's completely two separate categories, or under the umbrella of building a sukkah. That's what you're saying.
But yeah. Correct. But I think the simple shot here in the Shiltos, but you see from the Tziv is just how strong the urge is to resist the notion that there's a mitzvah of binyan sukkah, right? The simple shot in the Shiltos is that the mechayvin de bisyisrael of meivad mitzvasa to make a sukkah is part of the mitzvah. Okay. Two dinim that...
He's not saying it's mahakev, though.
Who?
The Shiltos.
Well, I think he would say if you didn't build a sukkah, you were mekayim half of a mitzvah of sukkah.
You were mekayim mitzvah sukkah. There's like a separate aspect of it that you can be mekayim. But
the mitzvah contains two things. The Rambam is very clear about this. For example, the Rambam says that, like the Rambam gives examples of Sfiras Omer. Every night it's a mitzvah to count, right? Yeah. And if you don't count one night, you're mevatel a mitzvah. But the mitzvah that's enumerated or codified in the Torah is just one mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. And that was very clear that it's because, well, if you have one mitzvah that contains many components, every component is therefore a mitzvah, right?
Correct.
If you have one mitzvah sphere, some of that is 49 days for you to count. It's a mitzvah to count every night. Ram talks about this also by Tcheles and Lavan. Right? You can mekayim tzitzis with just Lavan, but there's a mitzvah of Tcheles and a mitzvah of Lavan. Right? There, each one of those is a mitzvah. If you don't have Tcheles, you're mevatel Tcheles. If you don't have Lavan, you're mevatel Lavan. Even though the mitzvah itself might only...
It's not clear to me to what extent the Shilta thinks that they're really that intertwined.
The Shilta?
Distinct, yeah.
Well, look how he formulates this here. This is almost analogous to what he says by...
He quotes a pasuk for each one.
Right, but it's one Shilta Kuf Samech test. Let's say, so you want to say if you don't build the sukkah, what have you violated?
You failed to Mekai in the mitzvah of Binyan Sukkah.
And if you haven't sat in the sukkah?
Then you haven't Mekai in the mitzvah of Yeshiva Sukkah.
Right, so they're equal.
I guess, yeah. But I don't see what one has to do with the other. Meaning,
I don't think he thinks that one has to do with the other necessarily. I think he would say, you know, you could, let's say, if I sit in a sukkah that I didn't build, right now I'm a kind of in the midst of Yeshiva sukkah. Yeah. I think he'd say conversely that if I built a sukkah that I didn't sit in, I'm a kind of in the midst of...
Exactly. Yeah.
But I'm just trying to say he gives equal emphasis to Yeshiva. Okay.
One subsidiary, just that it's not mock.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't think. In general, I don't think we assume that, well, the Rambam does, actually, that whether ikuva is the way of gauging that it's one mitzvah or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if it can be compared to challah. Like, there's the mitzvah of eating, or the challah on Shabbat, having the challah, and there's also the hafrasha challah.
The hafrasha.
When you're baking it before. So that's the building process.
Yeah, well, the problem is their hafrasha is really a mitzvah, and eating it on Shabbos might be subsumed under a different mitzvah, but no separate mitzvah of challah. It'd be a mitzvah of oneg Shabbos, maybe. So there, they actually seem to be very divergent. Okay. So just two dinim that seem to factor into the mitzvah of binyan sukkah, maybe. Bishama Ishita and the Gemara and Daf Tes in sukkah, that a sukkah has to be built with shema. Okay? My time at the Bishamai, look at the Gemara's. The Gemara's Bishamai holds that a sukkah yishana is puzzle. That if your sukkah is built too early prior to sukkahs, the sukkah is puzzle. What is considered a sukkah yishana? Anything that's built 30 days prior to Yom Tov. Okay? Gemara says, my time at the Beis Shammai. How do you know that you need it to be built in close proximity to the Chag? Amar Kra Chag Asukah Shivas Yam LaShem Sukah HaAsuya L'Shem Chag Bina. Right, the Sukah has to be built L'Shem Chag. Okay, now I'm not saying that this, you know, necessitates that the mitzvah be the Binyan Sukah. Right, you might say there are certain things that are necessary in order to have a Sukah to sit in. But you can see how this is a halacha that applies very clearly to the construction of the Sukah. Quite independent from the yeshiva. Right, this is about what ingredients go into the building of a sukkah. Similarly, we already quoted this, the din of tasav lo mina asui. Right, the sukkah has to be constructed. It can't be found that way prior to Yom Tov. Right, so you can't just find a structure that's already, you know, has schach on it. That's a problem with tasav lo mina asui. Okay? So this brings us to a very related issue. that if you think that there's a mitzvah in the binyan of the sukkah, then you might, that might imply, and we'll see to what extent this is true, that there is a kiyum to the sukkah separate from the mitzvah of yeshiva. And I don't just mean that there's binyan sukkah, which is independent from yeshiva sukkah. I mean that the existence of the sukkah over the duration of Yom Tov might be part of the mitzvah of sukkah, separate from your sitting inside the sukkah over that time. Okay, so for example, let's say it's the fourth day of Sukkot, right, or fifth, right, it's the third day of Chol HaMoed now, it's starting. So there's no mitzvah binyan sukkah. Let's assume that that's over. All the sukkahs are constructed. But I might ask, well, what's the status of the sukkah now, even if I don't need to sit inside it? Right? It's not very clear, is it? Okay, so we'll see the nafkamina. The nafkamina bring out the actual distinction here. So, the Yevam Gemara in Sukkah, Mem Chesamid Aleph, Mishnah, says Sukkah Shiva Ketzad. You have to have your Sukkah for 7 days. Matt, you with us still?
Yeah.
Okay. Gamar Milachal. You read it for us.
Gamar Milachal. Lo Yasir Es Sukkaso. Aval Morid Es
Hakelim. Shivisha pronounced Lo Yasir Es Sukkaso.
Yasir Sukkaso. Aval Morid Es Hakelim Min Amincha Ulamala Mipnei Klo Yom Tov Ha'acharon Shalcha.
Okay, so what do we make of this Mishnah here? What's going on? Lo yatir asukasa. You shouldn't. What's the yatir here?
I guess like take away from.
Yeah, you shouldn't start dismantling.
Right.
You shouldn't. I guess on the lashon of soser.
Right.
You shouldn't dismantle your sukkah. Untie. Right. Start. So you shouldn't start taking down your sukkah. Why not? What's the problem? 1 second. You finish eating in your sukkah, it's almost Shemini Atzeres, so Shana Rabbah, it's getting close to dark. You shouldn't dismantle your sukkah. But if you need, you could start taking in your nice dishes into your home. Why? Mifnei kvod yom tov achron shachag. Mara says, well, you could start taking in your dishes if you need them for Shemini Atzeres already. Right? Isn't there a Tzisrael where you're not sitting in your sukkah Shemini Atzeres? Right? Or even here if you don't sit in your sukkah Shemini Atzeres? Right? So why does the Gemara have to give a justification? You're done eating. You ate lunch. Right? The Gemara says, don't dismantle your sukkah. And if you really need the dishes, you can bring them inside. Why not? Why not dismantle them? Yeah.
I'm just quoting the Ram, but basically...
Hold off on the Ram.
No, but it's like the... If what we're saying is... we're learning it from the Pasuk.
Yeah.
Chag HaSukkot Ta'aseh, and it's about Asiya, and it says Shivas Yamim.
Sure.
That you need it to be there for Shiva, right? It's not just building it for the sake of nothing. It has to be a process of building it for a purpose of 7 days.
Right. If there's a mitzvah in Binyan Sukkah, and the Pasuk says, Tasalcha Shiva Siyamim, maybe the mitzvah is to have a sukkah for the full 7 days. That's a very lumda shipshat. Right? So that is what appears in the Ran. We'll see in a second. But contrast that with Rashi's interpretation here. Bottom of page 3, what does Rashi say? Matt, go for it.
Rashi?
Yeah.
Lo yaser sukaso, lo yaser agadim shalola sosra, da kol hayom chovasa lishen vileshanen, vi'i ikala le zudasa achil la begava.
I see Rashi here. Vi'i ikla le zudasa achil le begava. And Rashi is interpreting this din in terms of the chovasa gavra I'd eat inside the sukkah. Look, I might need to take a nap. I might need to learn something, and I might get hungry. So the Mishnah here is giving me good advice, right? Keep it open, keep your sukkah available until your last minute, so you don't get caught in a bad situation. You might get hungry, and you don't want to have nowhere to go. But the Ran doesn't like that, right? And Rashi does seem forced here, right? Let's say I know I'm done, I'm finished, and we'll see. Rashi knows how to give ukimtas. But I know I'm not going to eat anymore. Right? So it seems like Rashi would say, "Well, then it's okay." Right, because you know you have no more purpose for the sukkah. But the Ran doesn't like that. So Jeremy, go for it.
Sukkah Shavad Ketzad Gamar Lachol Yatir Sukkah. So nearly dahinu tam tekevan da marachmana basuko teshu shivas yamim tzarcha telo sukkah kol shiva.
Isn't that beautiful? And he says, look, the Torah says have a sukkah for 7 days. So have a sukkah for 7 days. Right, the pasuk actually means what it says. Very nice Ran. That's what I mean. That might be an extension of this mitzvah of binyan sukkah. Where quite apart from your chovas hagavra, quite apart from your habitation of the sukkah, Torah says have it for 7 days.
Doesn't that reading kind of go against all the Gemara's and Sukkah and Shavuos we had earlier? If we were interpreting the Pasuk as being primarily about making the Sukkah, then how can you say
that? I'm saying this is a natural inference from the mitzvah of building a Sukkah.
Okay.
Right, if you have a mitzvah of building it that's distinct from sitting in it, then maybe there's a mitzvah of having it independent of eating for it.
Okay.
Because if the mitzvah of building it is just l'shem yeshiva, right, then you kind of get caught in the netziv issue, right? Just say it's a heksha mitzvah, that's why you're building it, right? So I think it seems like the mitzvah of building it has to have a separate purpose, quite independent from the mitzvah of yeshiva. And that purpose, what?
Except that he's using the Shiva and Yamim thing from the mitzvah of yeshiva.
No, it's by the Sukkot Teishu Shiva Yamim. It's the halo Sukkot Kol Shiva. Okay, it's true. He's quoting the Pesukim in Amor. It's a good point. That is very interesting. That makes it even more interesting because, you know, he's interpreting a mitzvah that's about Sukkot Teishu Shiva Yamim into just having the Sukkot for 7 days.
I mean, but it seems like his whole thing about having a Sukkot for 7 days is so that you can, like, be shaved for 7 days.
No, he doesn't say that.
Okay.
He's giving a different reason from Rashi.
Right, he doesn't say that, but I don't know. Maybe that was just because I thought Pesukot Teishu Shiva Yamim, Tehelo Sukkot Kol Shiva. This assumption that I made was that the Tehelo is, like, linked to the Sukkot Teishu part. Maybe not.
It doesn't seem like it. It seems like it's a separate. We'll see. I'm going to argue soon that you could actually. Yeah, this is too generous a way of putting it. That you have a mitzvah binyan, and the binyan is for the structure. And the mitzvah yeshiva is for your sitting inside it. You might say that everything is really swallowed up inside the mitzvah of binyan, and even the mitzvah. There's a way of talking about the mitzvah yeshiva sukkah, which puts all the emphasis on the mitzvah binyan and having a sukkah. So I'll say the Ran might be going in that direction. Right? You hear that?
That the binyan, which is subsumed under what?
I mean,
the
binyan really, under the yeshiva? You really have three.
Well, you haven't built a sukkah unless you use it.
What's that?
You haven't built a sukkah unless you use it.
Right. I'd put it a little differently even that. You could have three models here. Right. Until now we're saying you have mitzvah binyan, that's about the structure, have the structure for 7 days. You could have a model of sitting in the sukkah, right? And that requires you to eat inside it. Two separate dinim. Now, you might try to collapse those two together and say, wait, we look at it intuitively, at a way that Tziv is looking at, is that no, everything really stems from the mitzvah of yeshiva basukkah. That's primary. And then all these other things get swept underneath it. So binyan gets swept underneath the mitzvah of yeshiva basukkah as a heksher. And sitting in the sukkah is part of the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. And maybe, like Rashi's saying, having the structure for 7 days is also you could sit in the sukkah if you have to. But everything is classified under sitting in the sukkah. But there's another way where you could have the mitzvah of binyan sukkah, and that's mechayiv you to have a sukkah, because the structure is what's important. And maybe even the mitzvah of yeshiva basukkah is just a derivative of making use of the structure that you built. And that's like that's where I think the Ran could be going, if you want to read it that way. Okay, let's give some a more nafkamina to this issue of having the sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah on Membav Mabes distinguishes between the esrog and the sukkah. In the middle of page 4. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Esrog Bashvi Asur. Esrog on the 7th day is prohibited. Bashmini Mutter. Okay, on the 8th day, the Esrog is Mutter. Sukkah Filu Bashmini Asura. So why on Shmini Atzeres is the Esrog Mutter but the Sukkah Asur?
Take care.
Okay. Why is that? Everybody see the Mishnah here? Bashvi Asur, Bashmini Mutter. Esrog is kosher for Hana on the 8th day, and the Sukkah is also for Hana on the 8th day.
The Sukkah specifies Shiva Yamim.
What?
Well,
the Sukkah here is Asur on the 8th day.
Right, so like it specifies Shiva Yamim, and you like can't use it for anything past that. Maybe. I don't
know. No, but you're not allowed to use it. Here's something. It's for Hana. Right? You're not allowed to get Hana from the Sukkah for non-Sukkah mitzvah purposes. Even during Sukkot. The Chiddush is that it carries over even to the 8th day.
I mean, you could say living and yeshiva and all the activities we do in a sukkah, they're not like one moment. They're like
they
a progression.
Extension.
They have extension, so therefore we'll spill into the 8th day.
Huh.
Whereas carrying the esrog is, I mean, netilas.
But why would it spill into the 8th day? What's the principle here?
It
depends what the Gemara invokes. Right, the Gemara says...
It says Chazel Bein HaShemashah.
Right, Mai Shana Sukkah, Mai Shana Esrog. Gemara Membam and Beis. Why is Sukkah Asar and Esrog Mutter? As the Gemara says, Sukkah de Chazel Bein HaShemashah. Right, because the Sukkah could be used Bein HaShemashah on the seventh day. And since Bein HaShemashah is Quasi Yom, Quasi Laila, so there's elements of both the seventh and eighth day. So let's say you have to eat a suda ben hashmashos motzei sukkis right before Shmini Atzeres. So you'd have to eat in the sukkah. Ah, so if the sukkah is relevant ben hashmashos, it's katzoy le ben hashmashos. Amigu is katzoy le ben hashmashos. It's katzoy le kul yom yom hashmini. So if the sukkah gets usher ben hashmashos on the end of the seventh day, so ben hashmashos is also the beginning of the eighth day. So that isser kicks in also for the entire eighth day. But you might ask, given the Gemara's Ukimta, that okay, you might get hungry and have to eat in your sukkah, why not say the exact same thing about Esrog? Let's say you didn't take Esrog the seventh day in the morning, so now you have to use your Esrog ben Hashmashos of the seventh day, and you could just katzai. Once it's Aser for the end of the seventh, it's also Aser for the beginning of the eighth, because ben Hashmashos is a bridge. Why not make that exact same argument?
Isn't taking the love and Esrog only chayav on the first day, and the rest is just mudah? Like, it's just like...
Okay, so let's assume that you're in the Beis HaMikdash, where Lulav is Nital Kol Shiva, right? Because the Gemara assumes that the Esrog is Aser all 7 days, in this case, right? So either the Drabanan is sufficient to create the Esrog, right? Or we're talking in case of Lulav Nital HaMikdash Kol Zayin. So how does Rashi deal with this question, implicitly? So Esrog lo chazav b'nash... Mishayatza bo shachris. Why is an Esrog not relevant Bein HaShemashos? Oh, because you're already Yotzei using it in the morning. Rashi's basically making Ukimta here. Yep. And Rashi's saying that this is a case where you already were Yotzei your mitzvah of Esrog. So since you're already Yotzei the mitzvah of Esrog, so it's not going to be Aser Bein HaShemashos. It's very dachuk. Alright, because now it just hinges on, well, you know, do we assume that you'll need your Sukkah? Do we assume that you'll need your Esrog? We're not going to assume that you need your Esrog, because presumably, right, you already used it in Shacharis. But in Echanami, in principle, if you used your Esrog Bein HaShemashos, it would be just as Aser. That's why Rashi seems to be reading the Gemara. A cleaner read, right, might say, no, let's build off the Ran that we saw earlier. Right, that the Sukkah has a Din Sukkah for all 7 days. Quite apart from your Mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah. So you're not going to eat in the Sukkah, we know that. But you're Yotzei all your Sudos, you're done eating. But the sukkah is kayim, it has existence for 7 days. So therefore, that shame sukkah carries into the end of the seventh day. But in Esrog, that's completely contingent on your usage. So once you use the Esrog, so there's no more Isra that's going to carry over to the rest of the day. I think that's like a very clear nafkamina to this question. Everybody with me? Okay. One final nafkamina to this question here. Remember what the Mishnah said. Okay, the Mishnah said not only should you not take your sukkah down, but the Mishnah said if you have to, mishum kvod yom tov achron, right, you have to start preparing for Shmini Atzeres so you can bring your kalim into your house. Okay? What's that case of bringing your kalim into your house? So Rashi explains the Gemara. Gemara says, ein lo makom. So Rashi explains, it's a case where you have to eat inside your sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Because you, let's say you're, you have nothing, you don't know where to eat at home, right? You moved everything into your sukkah, you're not going to be able to move everything back into your home. You have no room to eat in your home, so you're going to eat in your sukkah. So Rashi says, what's the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question is, what can you do to show that you're not being mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah? Otherwise, Baal Tosef, it's the eighth day. So what can you do to show that you're not being mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah? So then the Gemara says, well, either you try to posel it, or if you have no other choice, you bring your kalim into your home. And you take your nice vessels out of the sukkah, nice dishes, and this will demonstrate that the sukkah is no longer in full force. So you're not going to violate Baal Tosef. Okay? The Rambam, though, doesn't seem to say that. Look at the Rambam, top of page 5. Gomar milachal v'yom ha-shvi shachris lo yadir sukkaso. Okay, so if you finish eating shachris of the seventh day, you shouldn't take it apart. Aval morid hu es kelov. You can start moving in your dishes from Mincha L'mala. Ein lo makom lefanos, if you can't move your dishes, then poches bo arba l'arba. You make a heker in your sukkah by opening up the wall for 4x4 tefachim here. ואם הוצרח לסעוד בשער היום, צריך לאכול בסוכה שמצווה של כל שבע. Why in the world does the Rambam tell you that you should take in your kelim? Aval morid hu es kelav, umefana osam min amincha lemala. Why is Rambam telling you that you should take in your kelim? And if you can't take in your kelim, then you have to do something in your sukkah. Right? Why? What do you think? So the Ravid is upset about this, and the Ravid says, "Well, it must be that he's on the Amar Avram in Yodea Mahuza. I have no idea what Rambam's talking about. Maybe it's a case where you have to eat in your sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, like Rashi said. So you have to do something to show that your sukkah is not a sukkah, so you take out your dishes. Okay, that's the Ravid's line, superimposing Rashi on the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't say that." Okay, so the Rav here in the Rishima Shiurim. So the Rav says, well, this is a general principle that we have by mitzvos, that when as soon as the mitzvah is over, you should try to do something to show that the mitzvah is over. Okay, so let's say for a manig, I don't think the Rav gives this example. He gives the example of the Gra, where the Gra says you should make havdalah motzei pesach on beer. Right, you should make havdalah on chametz to show that the mitzvah matzah and chametz mitzvah matzah and by Rabbi matzah is over. You want clear boundaries for mitzvos. Or the Sefer HaManig, this example he doesn't give. Sefer HaManig says that the moment you're done with your lulav and esrog, you should untie the egeh of the lulav, right? To show that the mitzvah of lulav is over. Okay. So the Rav says that's the idea here also, maybe. That the Rambam is trying to tell you that the moment the mitzvah is over, you should try to, mefana your kelim to show that even though you're not going to dismantle your sukkah, show that the sukkah is no longer important for after Yom Tov. Okay. My father wanted to suggest differently. He wrote this up in an article, and he says that maybe what Rambam here means is that there's a problem of Baal Tosif just for leaving your sukkah over beyond sukkahs. I mean, generally you think about Tosif in the Rashi sense, that if you're eating inside the sukkah, so then you have Baal Tosif. But maybe the point here is that you have Baal Tosif just on leaving the structure of the sukkah beyond the time of the Maisa Mitzvah. Okay, so it's not so different from what the Rav is saying, because the Rav is saying that it's about this, you want clear boundaries to the mitzvah. And if I was adding on that, maybe here by sukkah, it's not the normal din, right? It's not like, making Abdullah on beer to show that the mitzvah is over, but that if you leave the structure around after Yom Tov, then it might have a din of Baal Tosif in the mitzvah of sukkah. Okay? Good. So I think those are nice... This is a nice way of bringing out that there's a din to the sukkah quite apart from the mitzvah of yeshiva basukkah. Okay, is everybody on board for that?
Wait, that was... But isn't he talking about on the seventh day itself, the Rambam?
Yeah, but it seems like you're able to do this min amincha lemala.
Even though the...
L'chora, you should do this at the end of the day. Right. The heter to do it starts min amincha lemala.
Okay.
But why should you be doing this, right? That's the Ravid's question. Ravid's question is, why should you be doing this? Right, so Ravid says, must be because Baal Tosif eating inside the sukkah. Right, but the Rav and my father are saying, no, this has to do with, you have to, just like maybe there's a mitzvah of building the sukkah before Yom Tov, right, that has an analog in destructing the sukkah after Yom Tov, deconstructing the sukkah after Yom Tov. Okay? Do you want to continue here for another 10 minutes, or?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, cool. It's fine, I came late, sorry. Okay. So now let's maybe you could push this further and say, not just that you have a mitzvah of binyan and a mitzvah of having a sukkah around as a corollary, but maybe there's a way of showing that you could start talking about the other dinim of sukkah, right? Like the mitzvah of, dinim of sitting in the sukkah, and talk about those in terms of the mitzvah of the structure of the sukkah and its construction. Right? Kind of like what I was saying before. Where instead of viewing everything as a function of achila, you could even view the achila dinim as functions of the binyan. Okay, so how might you do that? So let's have a couple examples here. Shulchan Aruch in Simen Taf Reish Lamed Tes, bottom of page 5. So the Shulchan Aruch rules that on the first night, because of Tes Vav, so you have an obligation to eat in the sukkah regardless of whether it's raining. Machlokas, you have to make see this underlying section of Shulchan Aruch, Lailah Rishona, Tzarech Lechol, Kazayis, Pesukah, Afim Gishamim Yardim. That no matter what, it's raining, you have to eat inside Pesukah. The Gra there is not happy with it, and the Gra quotes Tosas Shita, Aval Betosos Kasuv, Kegonim Yardu V'acha Chutz L'Sukah, Pasku Agishamim, Shechayiv. Tosas says no. It's a case where the rain stopped raining. Okay, so let's say from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock you ate inside your home because it was raining. 10 o'clock it stops raining. Do you have a chiv now to schlep out into the sukkah and make kiddush? Okay? Tosas says, that's the case of the Gemara. You don't have a chiv if it's raining. You have a chiv if it stops raining. Okay, so why does Tosas want to maintain that you can never have a chiv of yeshiva ba sukkah if it's raining? Why not? Yeah,
so there's no shame sukkah when there's gesham.
Excellent. All right, so the Gra says the Chumash Kasva Rashba, Tichshe Yordim Geshamim Ein Shame Sukkah Alav. Right, not that there's no chovas hagavra to eat inside the sukkah. That's the simple way of construing the Ptur Geshem. Right, it's like the Mishnah gives the example. Right, here you're Mose Kos L'Rabo, are you serving God? And the Rav throws it back in your face. As example, in the Mishnah and Sukkah. Right, so the Chor, that's an exemption of the person. I'm no longer obligated to eat in the midst of sukkah. My mitzvah has been suspended. But the Gra is saying no. Right, it's about hafkah, shame sukkah. There's no what you see as a sukkah, right? That it should be defined by having schach and should have, you know, three walls. One of the definitions of a sukkah is that it should have no rain upon it. That's a din in the shame sukkah, not a din in the chovas hagavra and a chilah b'sukkah. Right. So of course, therefore, you can never have a chiyuv of yeshiva basukkah when it's raining. Because there is no sukkah to sit inside. That's the Gra's explanation for Shita Tosos. I think that's one example where, you know, you talk about a Ptur Geshem, and Tosos talks about that, or the Gra is talking about that in terms of the shame sukkah. Okay? Is that helpful? This Naf Kamina? Kind of, is that helpful? You don't
yeah.
like it?
Yeah.
No?
Sure.
Why not?
No, I think it's fine. I think it's helpful.
We don't pasuk by it though, right?
What? Hence, you wanna follow the Gra. The Gra thing. I think they said the Gra might have been machmir for this.
To dafka not eat.
I think they say the story maybe that he ate inside the sukkah and it was raining. And if they make they eat inside the sukkah, so because it comes out to a chumrah also, right? If you eat inside the sukkah when it's raining, then just you go inside for the rest of the meal. Eat a kazayis, go back inside. Go to sleep, then it stops raining. But it's still the first night. So on the Shulchan Aruch's view, so you're Yotze, right? Because you ate Lila, you ate Exayis plus Sukkah. According to the Gra, you're not Yotze because you didn't eat inside the Sukkah. There's no Sukkah to eat in. Right? So I think people are Machmir for this. Some story about either the Beis Halevi or the Rav and Moshe. He like woke him up in the middle of the night because he wanted to be Choshesh for this Gra. Another Nafkamina might be Mitztayer. The Mordechai in Sukkah, in Simen Taf Shin Mem, bottom top of page 6, Mordechai says, V'dafka she'asas, he's talking about the Ptur Mitztayer, right, that if it's too cold or there are bugs or it's too wet, you have an exemption from the Sukkah. So the Mordechai says, V'dafka she'asas sukkasa mitchila b'makam haroi, lechol v'lishtos v'lishen ba, v'nolad lo hatzar achar kach. The only time you could talk about a Ptur Mitztayer is if you build your sukkah in the right conditions, in the right place, and then something happened afterwards. Okay, so it became cold afterward, or bugs came afterwards. Aval asah mitchil b'magam haroy letzdar ba'achilaso o b'shtiyaso o b'shena kigon sheyari meganavim umlistim lo miboyi de lo miftar ba al afilu ein sakana ba'achila v'shtiyah ele b'shena lo yatzei dechavaso klal. Alright, so let's say I can't sleep in the sukkah because there are thieves around. That's kind of mitzdayer. Okay? So he says, Mordechai says, that you're not yotze, your mitzvah is achila basukkah. Why? D'haka ein dira ba'inan? Because the sukkah itself, it's a property of the sukkah that has to be fit for all your needs. So even though you can come into the sukkah and say, well, I'm happy eating here right now, the fact that this sukkah is not roi for your other needs, that means that you're not yotze right now inside the sukkah. Even though all the conditions are fine right now. I'm happy to eat here, I won't sleep here. He says, that's a pasul sukkah. because the sukkah has to be ready for all the conditions. It's not a proper, it's not a condition of your, you know, fulfillment of the mitzvah of eating inside it.
This could be a chuvas agavra though.
But it could be a chuvas agavra thing, but you see how he's talking about a chuvas agavra in terms of the hechsher of the sukkah?
Where does he talk about in terms of
the mitzvah?
Yeah, which are all activities that are the actual kiyum mitzvah. Meaning you have to be able to be mekayim the mitzvah. If you can't be mekayim the mitzvah, then you're not mekayim the mitzvah.
Look at his formulation at the end. Kiven she'ein yochel lasos ba kol tzrachav, achila v'shtia v'sheina b'lo tzar mitchila, lo hav yasukah. Alright, lo hav yasukah. Kiven de letzure kaima. Right, it's not a sukkah because this sukkah doesn't allow you to sit there benachas. Right? It's very strong. Right?
Yeah, no, I think the lohavi sukkah is much stronger.
That doesn't. That's sufficient. Okay.
Close to sufficient.
Good. So there's one. We'll close with this little analysis here. That a way of making this more intuitive, maybe even like a cause for. You know, what does it mean that the mitzvah is in the binyan? And that there's a mitzvah, maybe just having the structure, or even more than that, that maybe the structure is what's mechayiv, you know, to fulfill the mitzvah of yeshiva. Using that model where everything comes from the mitzvah binyan sukkah and having the sukkah, and that all these properties of mitzvah and geshem are properties of the sukkah itself, not of your kiyum mitzvah. So I think a good way of thinking about this is this notion of chal shem shemayim ala sukkah. The Gemara has it in two places. One is Gemara and Sukkah. The Gemara and Sukkah in Daf Tesamid Aleph. Amar Rav Sheshes, Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Minayin. Do you want to take like a 1 minute break, everybody?
Okay.
I know I've been going for a long time. And...
Okay.
No, everyone's fine. Yeah. Aliyah, you're okay?
Good.
Okay. Jeremy, you're fine?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine?
I'm good.
Hana, you're fine?
Great.
Okay. So Amar Rav Sheshes, Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Minayin La'atei Sukkah She'asurin Kol Shiva. Right? How do you know? This is what you're talking about before. How do you know that the Sukkah is Asur for all 7 days? No, Tam Lomar Chag Sukkah Shivas Yom LaHashem. Right? A Sukkah has to be 7 days for Hashem. Metani Rabbi Yudah B'Seir Omer Kishem Shachal Shem Shemayim Al Chagiga Kach Shem Chal Shem Shemayim Al Sukkah. Just like the Karban Chagiga has Kedushas Karban, right? It's endowed with Kedusha as a Karban. So too the Sukkah is endowed with a similar kind or an equivalent kind of a Kedusha. Shenemar Chaga Sukkos Shivas Yom LaHashem Machago Hashem Afsukkah LaHashem. Just like the Karban Chagiga has Kedusha, so too the Sukkah has Kedusha. And no one's saying this about Matzah. It's not just the Kedusha of the Mitzvah. It's something stronger than that. That's why the Sukkah becomes Atzer B'Hana. Now you should just know that there's a big machlokas. What does it mean that the Sukkah is Atzer B'Hana? What's included in that definition of Sukkah? The most restrictive view is to say just the Schach. More generous view is to say the schach and the minimum shear of the walls that are necessary for a sukkah. More generous view is that it means all the walls, okay, even ones that weren't necessary. Right, so here you have more than the minimum shear walls. They're all asur b'hana. And some people even extend it to the noi sukkah. That's why some people say don't touch the decorations. Or right, you're in sukkah, people are like, don't touch it, it's mutzah. Right? We got my in-laws and they had the like plastic pomegranates on the schach. Only my daughter, she sank her teeth right into the plastic pomegranates on the sukkah. And someone screamed, they're muksa. Tell them she's a ketana. Right. So you don't worry about it. What?
No one's
worried about the carcinogens in the plastic. So you have this whole machlokes, right? What's defined as the sukkah? We'll see in a minute. There's an even stronger shita. That more than the schach, more than the walls, more than the noi sukkah. This is the dion later on. If you saw this about whether someone could urinate inside the sukkah, so that shiloh depends on whether the airspace inside the sukkah has kedusha as well. Meaning, does it pertain just to the physical structure of the sukkah, or even like the entire area that's cut out by the sukkah? Whether you view that as like an area of kedusha, we'll see nafkaminos to that in a second. Okay, now. You might say, well, that has nothing to do with the mitzvah binyan sukkah, right? Right? Who said that this has anything to do with the construction of the sukkah? Maybe it's just a property of sukkahs that sukkahs have. That sukkahs have kedusha. Right? And the Torah easily could have said, right? If the Torah said matzos l'Hashem, they would have said matzos have kedusha, because anything that has a mitzvah achila and the Torah stipulates that has kedusha, the two will have kedusha. Okay, but the Rashba is very clear that this has to do with the actual construction of the sukkah. It's not that once something is a sukkah, then it has kedusha. And in fact, there are ways where you could have a sukkah that's kosher for the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah, but it won't be endowed with the chal shem shemayim al sukkah. It won't be endowed with kedusha sukkah. This is the Rashba Beis Alamin Beis. The background is the Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Ches. You have the next source after the Rashba. I should have reversed it. Second source on page 7. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan. Everybody have it? Okay. Ganvach. Sukkas Goyim. That's the Gimel. Sukkas Nashim. That's the Nun. I was learning that I was giving a shiur in Inglewood and I skipped over the Sukkas Nashim and want people to get upset. Sukkas Nashim. Sukkas Behema. Sukkas Kutim. Sukkah Mikol Mokom Kshera. Okay. Someone actually was upset with me afterwards for skipping over Sukkas Nashim.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you're just, you know, crowd pandering over here, you know. How could you skip over a line in the...
That's why when I was telling someone, Ganbach, they were like, oh, Goyim, Nochriya. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, Nochriya. What is that? That's how it appears here in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tanabon and Ganbach, Sukkas Goyim, Sukkas Nashim, Sukkas Behema. Now someone's giving a shiur in hen this year. And he said he has like a very strenuous objector. They're doing civis also. And he's saying that he has like really every time they get into like one of these paternalistic gemaras, so like somebody like, you know, pulls him over afterwards and says, like, you have to deal with this, like maybe you should give a shiur differently. He's like trying to figure out, what do you do? And he isn't, like, you know. So yeah. I mean, you kinda just have to grapple with it as it is, right? It's not... Don't worry, this is not as bad as the Oneg Yom Tov, which we'll see in a second. Did you see the Oneg Yom Tov? Yes, it is.
I thought so.
According to the Oneg Yom Tov, we'd have to clear out half the sukkah. We'll see in a second.
All right.
It's interesting. The Gemara in Sukkah says, in the Afchas and Beis, Tanabanan, Ganvach, Sukkas Goyim, Sukkas Noshim, Sukkas Behema, Sukkas Kutim, Sukkah Mikol Mokom Kshera. Basically, we don't care that a non-Jew built it. We don't care that a woman built it. We don't care that an animal built it. We don't care that a kuti built it. Right, the sukkah has a kosher sukkah and everybody's yotze. Right? So it's actually very nice, right? It's saying that the sukkah is kosher regardless of who constructed it. So the Rashba says, going back a source to the top of page 7, the Rashba is puzzled by this. Why? Because if the Gemara wants to say chal shem shemayim al haschach, because it seems very unreasonable that if a non-Jew built a sukkah, that it could be endowed with that kedusha, right? Look at the lashon. Mitocha dchak yesh li lomar, vehekisha kosav chagiga mamish. Ma chagiga ein omrim la la'achas chalav kedusha tifka kedusha af atzei sukkah ken. Right? Once it has kedusha, it can never be revoked because the kedusha is definite. Kashli hadikaimon sukkas ganvach v'sukkas rakvash tichshera. How could that be? Lama chaylo alei kedusha kol zayin. V'chim ifnei shenichnas zeh sham v'achal sham pamachas o yashan sham tachol alav kedusha kol zayin. I thought they non-Jew built the sukkah, and I happen to wander in here and eat a meal in it right now. So what, my maisa achila is gonna transform the entire sukkah into davar shel kedusha? That's aser b'hanah kol zayin. V'hilo nasis l'shem kedusha sukkah. The sukkah wasn't built for that purpose. So it's the efshar, the sukkah's ganvach, v'rakvash, kesuka de alma. That distinction is saying that maybe these sukkos, yeah, it's true, they're kosher for the mitzvah of yeshiva basukkah, but that din of chal shem shemayim al sukkah never takes effect on a sukkah that didn't have a proper construction. Okay? So you see already here how the din of binyan sukkah, according to the Rashba, that's what is responsible for the added din of chal shem shemayim al sukkah. Okay. I hope they didn't leave because I mentioned the Oneg Yom Tov.
I have a question. So the idea of Tasev lo min ha'soy is saying that, like, you can't just have, like, min ha'soy, you have to have Tasev also. This is saying, this is sort of, like...
Here it's made, it's constructed, it's right. Not Tasev lo min ha'soy, a non-Jew built it. So it's not Tasev lo min ha'soy.
Right, so, but, like, why is that okay? Right? Doesn't it have to be Tasev? Like,
well, it is Tasev. It was just Nasai de a non-Jew.
Okay. Fine, but there's different stages. Like,
yeah, one of them is saying it didn't have construction at all. You found it ready-made. Right. Right? Another one saying it had construction, but didn't have construction that was sufficient to endow it with Kedusha Sasaka. Right? These are very clear boundary lines.
clear. Do you think the Yerushalmi would... I was thinking about this before. Do you think the Yerushalmi has, like, a special din of Lishma for Binyan Sukkah?
No, it seems like that's, like,
Sukkah Lishma.
But that's not Lishem Sukkah. I was actually wondering about this. Yeah. Before I read the Yerushalmi, I think this is the right way to do Yerushalmi. Lishmo means for that person who I'm building it for, not right. Lishmo, Lishem Sukkah, or Lishem the Bonus Law, kind of thing. Yeah. But it does seem this very interesting, very, very unique properties of the Sukkah. Right, that is endowed with this Kedusha, and this Kedusha is a function of the Binyan, not a function of the actual Shem Sukkah itself. Okay. Let's just... What are these Dine Kedusha Sukkah? And to bring out the tension here between the different views, actually, where there's so many pages left, right? To bring out the tension here, okay? So, look. It'll be interesting if you could have where the classic views of Teshuva Kentaduru would actually conflict with a strong interpretation of Kedusha Sasuka. Alright? See where that's going? I mean,
No.
But imagine if, like, you could say, look, I have a mitzvah. Okay, just to isolate the extremes here. You might say, I have a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. Okay, that's like, Teshuva came to do. My chavos agavra. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is looking at it from the structure of Kedusha Sasuka now. Are there places where those dinim might be mutually exclusive? Right, where you actually have to get radically opposite shitos depending on which side you want to come from. Okay. So one interesting nafkamina here. Let me first give nafkaminas to the Kedusha. What does it mean? So one nafkamina is clearly the Isra Hana. Right, the Sukkah is Isra Hana, and you can't draw a benefit from it. Here, I quoted it from the Yalke Yosef, but it's a very famous Oneg Yom Tov. He says, we're in second to last source on page 7. I skipped the underlined part. Notice he's commenting on the Gemara of Chal Shem Shemayim al Sukkah. He says, "Lefizeh hayanir she'aser min haTorah leishev min leishev basukah b'shashu patur miyeshiva basukah." It's actually prohibited to sit in the sukkah when you are exempt from the mitzvah of yeshiva basukah. Okay, kegon sheyardu gishamim. That's much stronger than the gra. The gra just said there's no shame sukkah. He's saying there's a shame sukkah, and it's usher for you to be there. Umihu mekvar hayoshev basukah. Fine. Right? If you're stuck in the sukkah, no one's going to tell you to get out. And the Oneg Yom Tov actually says that maybe, you know, women who aren't obligated in the sukkah, they should, like, try to not be in the sukkah as much as possible. That's the best of Oneg Yom Tov here. Okay, but the idea is also for ketanim. Anybody who's not obligated, so if you're a mitzdar or whatever, you should not be in the sukkah. Why? Chal shem shemayim al sukkah. Right? It's like almost being inside a Beis HaKnesses for no reason. Okay, we'll see the Beis HaKnesses analogy soon, but... Unless you have good reason for being inside, they have an obligation, you're being mekayim a mitzvah, then you should be there. But otherwise, it's best to stay as far away from the sukkah as possible. You can see how that cuts against the whole notion of teshuva kentaduru. Right? Teshuva kentaduru means that you should live in your sukkah just as you would be living in your home. Right? So to the extent you want to say, I have an obligation to live inside the sukkah, b'chule b'chule, so everything should be done in the sukkah. But here, once you start talking about the sukkah as Zavar Shabbatusha, you're already minimizing the amount of things you should be doing in there. I'll give you another nafkamina. This comes from the... This really comes from the Shla. He says... Next source. Skip to the underlined part. L'ficha chayoshe b'sukkah olav l'sheves b'derech eretz. Right? You sit in a sukkah, you sit b'derech eretz. B'kavod v'hadar. Right? With honor and hadar. Hadar is hard to translate. Right? Jabotinsky's whole movement was... centered around the notion of hadar, kind of like Jewish pride and glory, right? So you sit there with pride, and v'pratki asukah gedola kedushas amod, right? The sukkah has great kedusha. What's the source? Chal shem shemayim al sukkah. But v'miyuchad yesh lizar maod lehisrachi midas hakas. Right? You should stay away from the midah of anger. V'akpada v'socha sukkah. Right? You shouldn't be makbid against people in the sukkah. V'lo yorim kolu al b'nei beso. And you shouldn't scream at your children or your family members while you're in the sukkah. Lo yisachik bakuvia v'prat b'sukkah. You shouldn't gamble inside the sukkah. Okay? Shlo yichalel kedushas ha-sukkah. That's the last line. You shouldn't desecrate the kedusha of the sukkah by doing all these mundane activities inside the sukkah. Now the irony here is that if you look at the Maharil, okay, Maharil is earlier than the Shla. I think they're actually roughly contemporaneous. The Shla is like a generation after Maharil. Maharil says pumfaker. Maharil said Teshuva Kentaduru. Right, so if you're Masachi Bakovia, you're playing card games or whatever, you're gambling, better to do it in the sukkah than in your home. because that is the key mitzvah of the sukkah. As I think here you have cases where this notion of the general notion of teshuva came to do and the notion of kedusha seem to be mutually exclusive. Alright, look again at the top of page 8. Aval hashla, the underlined part. Or let's say right before the underlined part. You see it? One line earlier. The harama kasav od b'shem ma'aril harotel ledaber shmuel simchaveru yelech l'sukkah. Alright, you want to shmooze and waste time? Go to the sukkah. Shasukkah kilu hi beso. The sukkah is like your house. Aval hashla kasav minag mori zatzal shalol ledaber b'toch hasukkah ele b'divrei Torah. Once again, ki hasukkah kudushasa od. And he quotes the Gemara in Sukkah, Chal Shem Shemayim al HaSukkah. This idea goes back even earlier. The Melamed Talmidim is, I think, Rabbi Yaakov Antuli, I think that's his name. He's like writing in Provence in the 12th century. He's like in the Chug of the Ravid. And look what he says. He's explaining the Pasuk here of Yoshe B'Seser Elyon B'Tzel Shaka Yislonan. And he says, the Kavane is a Kol Abal Beis Hashem. Anybody who comes to Beis Hashem is considered Yosef B'Sheis Elyon. L'fisa tziva lavo l'tziachid l'skadish v'yas ha-mishkan. Mishkan. V'vishar mekomos ha-miyuchad l'shem. Ke Beis ha-mikdash, Beis ha-knesses, l'sukkah shel mitzvah. And he quotes Chal Shem Shemayim al-sukkah. A very interesting juxtaposition. Right? I wouldn't have necessarily brought those three. I probably wouldn't even have brought them together. Right? That you have triumvirate of Beis ha-knesses, Beis ha-mikdash, and sukkah. Has like the three entities that are considered like Makom Kedusha. Okay, it's very fascinating. So this might have an afkamina here, where some of these achronim want to know like this question of, you know, are you allowed to urinate inside the sukkah? Right. So if the kedusha is only chal on the walls, then there's no kedusha to the airspace of the sukkah per se. Right. But to the extent that you think it has like a din of a Beis HaMedrash, that the entire makom is mukaf ke Beis HaMedrash, then. Yeah, you can understand it much more naturally. The other achronim have this diyun, very interesting diyun. There's an old problem about Shagas Aryeh already raises it. You know, if you can't, you're not allowed to build a structure inside the Beis HaMikdash. Hi, but how could the kohanim eat the menachos then inside the Beis HaMikdash on sukkahs? You need a sukkah in order to eat there. So he says, "Saw this?"
Yeah.
What does he say? He says maybe. So maybe the Havmin is that you don't even need a sukkah if you're inside the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah.
Because you're already inside a Makom Kadosh. A very fascinating idea. That, you know, the sukkah is a way of creating Chal Shem Shemayim Allah. But if you have that already for some other reason, then you might be exempt from the mitzvah of Yeshiva Sukkah. Okay. So you have a lot of dinim that seem to be tali on this actual question. The Zminig also, when you leave your sukkah, that the quote goes back, I think, to the Maharam, that people have the minute when they leave the sukkah, they should say, Yiratzon Shiniska Leisev Be Sukkah Shel Levyason, right, the theme of Moshe Mashiach. Again, the idea that the sukkah is supposed to represent something more than just the Maisa Mitzvah. Well, I'm not sure how strong that nafkamina is. So I think this gives a very very intuitive way of looking at the mitzvah of Yeshiva Basukkah and having the structure there. And that might kind of explain going back to the first Makoros that we saw, that the connection to Yom Kippur, maybe. That the reason why the Chiyuv kicks in at the time of Yom Kippur, right, Motzi Yom Kippur, that's the Zman HaScholas Mitzvah Binyan Sukkah. So I thought maybe, I don't know if this is not the most rigorous argument, but in light of what you were explaining about Aseres Mitzvah, how the Aseres Mitzvah, and especially Yom Kippur, is defined almost as a time of Lifnei Hashem Titaru, or a time that's unique for Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo. It's kind of a time of closer proximity for tshuva, etc. So then it makes a lot of sense that the mitzvah of sukkah, which the mitzvah of binyan sukkah, which seems to be din, especially according to this Rashba of Chal Shem Shemayim Al Tfanos, that mitzvah of binyan sukkah is when, you know, the gavra is in the person who's building it is in a more purified state of coming after the day that is Lifnei Hashem Titaru. So it's that moment in time which triggers the mechayiv of the mitzvah binyan sukkah, which itself is what creates the din of Chal Shem Shemayim ala sukkah. I think that's like a nice way of looking at these dinim. Maybe a different approach to the mitzvah binyan sukkah and tshuva sukkah and the structure of the sukkah. I think it's a nice explanation for this halacha right here about why it might be kicked in on Motzi Yom Kippur. Okay.
Ah.
So if anybody any questions? All right. or objections? Connie, you want to voice all the objections? You were,
no, I don't have so many. I don't have a lot of objections.
Not so many.
I just have one question. This is probably also a dumb question.